face diverse trials and diverse times of day. They're all trying my small faith, and many times in pride I don't pray. But I'm being conformed to the image of God in the Son. I'm learning to pray in the Spirit to the glory of God. One day the apostle said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Jesus gave example for them to learn in the way. Some of the apostles took part in Gethsemane. But Jesus said, could ye not pray 1 hour with me? Jesus prayed over everything, that his Father's will would be done. He's praying for saints of God, that they would believe in God's only Son. He prayed in his weakness, he prayed in his strength, he prayed when the cross met him face to face, never ceasing to pray. Jesus prayed. The Father sent Jesus to give eternal life unto men. The Father gave Jesus power over all flesh. He prayed for the Father to keep us from the evil on earth. And he prays for the ones who will take part in the new birth. Jesus said, Peter, I've prayed that thy faith would fail not. And he prayed to the Father before on the water he walked. He prayed o'er the food for the 5,000 in the wilderness. They started with 12 baskets and ended with 12 baskets still. Jesus prayed over everything, that his Father's will would be done. He prays for the saints of God, that they would believe in God's only Son. He prays in his weakness, he prays in his strength, he prayed when the cross met him face to face, never ceasing to pray. And he's still making intercession from heaven today, that his will be accomplished in his saints. So Jesus prays.
Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12 on our Sunday morning series. We've been going through the book of Luke. We've been following Jesus and been seeing how Jesus reacts to things and how Jesus responds to things and calling it, you know, just traveling with Jesus, journey with Jesus. But as we go through the book of Luke, we've been learning a lot of things. And usually at Sunday morning, I know some people are in here, young people and teachers are not in here on Sunday morning. So we're just going to give you a little bit of update what we've been doing. This morning, we preached a message about qualities of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we move Luke's message up to tonight. And we've been looking at this thought about stewarding life. And we thought about this idea of stewarding life. And I like that phrase, life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. So what you do with your life, and I really truly believe God, the life is a gift from God. We've given a certain amount of time and life and breath and abilities here on this earth, and what are we going to do with them? And Jesus has been teaching in Luke number 12 about some important things about stewarding life. So let's think about a couple things that we've learned already. Life is a gift from God. Like I said, He's the one that created life. He's the one that can extend life. He's the one that can take away life. He is the one that is sovereign over life. He is the one that's in control of everything. But not only is life a gift from God, He gave us life for a purpose. Now, obviously, when a person is here and they're just existing and being part of life, that's one thing. It's a great gift. If you didn't have life, you wouldn't be here. But then He offers something. He offers eternal life, everlasting life. He offers you the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. See, our body will only be here and it's temporal for a little while, but our soul will last forever. And so the question is, are you prepared to meet God someday? And once you become a believer, once you are a Christian, once you understand that you're a sinner, and because you're a sin, you're separated from God, and you must repent of those sins and ask God and see God as your personal Savior and receive Him. But after that, why does God give us eternal life? Why are we here as a Christian or a believer? If He did not have a purpose for us, couldn't He just take us to heaven after we gotten saved and we can start off eternity from there? He doesn't do that. There's a reason, there's a purpose, and there's a couple purposes for the gift of life to bring glory to God. The Bible talks about how all things were created for Him and by Him, that He is worthy of all glory, He's worthy of all honor. Our lives should be a testimony, and we should declare His glory with our lives. That's the reason why He's given us time and life here, is so we can do that. And one of the ways we do that is by bringing others to Christ. So we began looking at this passage in chapter number 11. People were giving Jesus a hard time. That was not unusual. In chapter number 11, there's even people who accuse Jesus, says, you're casting out demons in the power of the devil. I mean, that sounds kind of stupid, but, you know, you're casting out the devils in the power of the Satan. And, you know, he gets crit, and people just keep on and keep on and keep on. And at the beginning of chapter number 12, He turns to the disciples and He begins teaching them something that's really important. He begins teaching them about the stewarding life. You say, well, what's the word steward? Well, a simple way of looking at the word steward is one who manages the affairs of another. And once again, these are things that we've learned in the last few weeks. We're just going over them to remind you, but also to introduce the thoughts to everyone that has not been here. It's someone that gives you an opportunity to manage their affairs. And we thought about this, that God is the owner of everything. We are the managers. If God has given us life and His gift of life, everything we have, every good gift, it cometh from where? It cometh from above. It cometh from God. So He's given us all these things. He's given us these opportunities, these resources, this life, this body, this family, this church family. Now, what are we going to do with those resources He's given us? He says, now, I want you to take the opportunities you have, and I want you to manage those opportunities. If you're here tonight and do not know Christ as your personal Savior, the first thing that you need to do is accept Christ, because His intention is for you to be saved and on your way to heaven. Your soul will be somewhere forever, and it's either heaven or hell, and it's based off of what you do with Jesus Christ. Works will not get you there. Tonight, when we talk about stewarding life, the greatest thing you can do is put your faith and trust in Him. Now, so we in chapter number 12 in the stories, the first lesson was about stewarding life. Second lesson was stewarding life with the fear of God. You say, what's that mean? It means that so many people waste their opportunities by caring about what everybody else thinks. And He gives examples of that. In the story, He says, don't be afraid of man that can kill the body. It can kill the body. He's talking to disciples. At least 11 of them were put to death for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they can kill the body. He says, but fear the one that can kill the body and also the soul. He says, so it says, don't waste your life away worrying about what other people think or what other people say. Don't waste your life away being fearful and letting someone else determine how you're going to live your life. Live in the fear of God and a respect and a reverence of God and the fact you don't want to disappoint him, but also he is the one that can send a person's soul to hell. He says, live in that fear. That's a good way to steward your life, is by the fear of God. And then someone interrupts Jesus and says, you know, master, he says, he has a quarrel with his brother about dividing the inheritance. And Jesus says, look, I'm not going to be that judge. That's not the reason why I'm here. But he turns and look in verse number 15 and says, and it's a wonderful verse, take heed and beware. He says, take heed and beware of covetousness. So within, I think it was last week, we talked about stewarding life by bewaring of covetousness. And he says, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Your life is so much more than the things you have. The purpose why you're here is so much more than the possessions you have. And the world needs to get that and understand that. And then he talked about that parable. He talked about the rich man who was a farmer and talked about how he had a bountiful crop and what he was going to do with it. And he began asking himself this question and this question. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to? And he starts talking. He doesn't ask God. He doesn't give consideration to God. He doesn't give consideration of eternity. Now, that is applicable to everyone, not just a farmer that has a bountiful crop. That's for all of us to understand, is that when we take God out of the equation, we take eternity out of the equation, and we live our lives with the sin of covetousness, we're not stewarding our life the way we should. We're missing it. We're missing the whole point. Now, at the end of that, he says in verse number 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Verse number 20, he says, but God said unto him, who's this? This is the rich man that's inside the parable. Thou fool. Boy, I want God to speak to me, but I don't want him to call me a fool. I want to hear from God. I want God to, but he says, thou fool. He's being foolish. Why is he foolish? It's because he has not considered eternity and he has not put God in the equation. Have you considered eternity? Do you know that we will live somewhere forever? Our soul will live somewhere forever. Have you considered eternity? This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? He says, now you're going to leave it all behind. Think about all those things you did, and you've been foolish in this thought. So we come here to verses 22 to about verse number 34 tonight. And there's a little contrast here. You know, some could look at the parable about the rich farmer and say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have enough. He says, I don't have bountiful. I don't have a lot. I don't have anything. And so he looks, and I think he uses the contrast here. He talks about some that have a lot. Now he's going to talk about some that doesn't have much. And the problem is that many people worry. You know, sometimes people that have a lot, they worry about, you know, where they're going to park it or how they're going to take care of it. They're going to worry about how to invest it. They're going to worry about that nobody else takes it from them. They're going to worry about how to divide it up when they, you know, they worry about that. Those that do not have much, they worry about, well, how am I going to get what I need? How am I going to provide what I need? Oh boy, I wish I could have this. I wish I could be like that person. And they worry and they worry. And so Jesus turns to his disciples in verse number 22 and he gives some instructions. And he gives some instructions on this stewardship. And if we're going to steward life, I think it's important. Not only do we steward life with the fear of God, not only do we steward life by avoiding covetousness or bewaring of covetousness, I think it's important that we steward life by not worrying. By not worrying. Worrying and being anxious is one of the sins that many, many believers have. Most of us, if not all of us, have experienced worry. And he is telling us here in verse 122, and he said unto his disciples, you notice he speaks the parable to them, referring to the crowd, and it's talking about somebody who had much, and his disciples were probably going through their mind, well, I don't have much. I've left everything to follow after him. I don't even know where my next meal is going to come from. He said, where do you see that in scripture? There's spots when they're worried because they didn't bring bread with them. And it talked about how they didn't have much different times. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Say, Pastor, what is that referring to? Are we supposed to be mindless? Are we supposed to be careless? No. Obviously in the Bible, in the Word of God, it talks about us being sober, being vigilant. But what it's referring to here is not to worry. Take no thought means to don't be anxious or troubled with care. Remember, don't get anxious about what? says, take no thought for your life. And then it continues on, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. He says, now don't be concerned about food. I'm going to provide that for you. Don't be concerned about what you put on. I'm going to provide that for you. And a lot of times the world gets mixed up and all worried about what they're going to eat or about what they're going to wear, and that consumes their life. And he says, this is the reason why we don't need to worry about it, because verse number 23, life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. I think that's comparison to the idea in verse number 15 where it says, life, man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He's saying, look, your life is so much more important than just those trivial things. And let's keep on going. And he says, consider the ravens. I like the picture when Jesus is teaching that maybe a raven had flew in. I don't know. He says, consider the ravens. He points at the ravens and he says, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And then he continues on, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? How many people, if they worry and they worry and they worry, they can grow an inch? It just doesn't happen. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Verse 26, and if ye then be not able to do that which is least, and Jesus, when God's saying this, there's nothing to that for him, nothing to that for God the Father, why take ye thought for the rest? Then he says, consider the lilies, and maybe he's in a field and there's lilies around. He says, how they grow, how they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And Solomon was known for the pomp and circumstance. You know, he was dressed, you know, like the wisest and most richest king ever to live. And then he keeps on, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says, if he can take care of the ravens and he can take care of grass, don't you think he can take care of you? And the question is, it's not about our things, it's about our faith in God. Then he goes in verse number 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. His faith is the issue, the key here. For all these things that the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. He's saying the rest of the world lives this way. The people that do not have God the Father and they do not have faith in God the Father, they're going to think about these things. These are the things they have to live for. We have a greater purpose, a greater reason. And if they do not have God, of course they're going to seek after the world. But as believers, we have so much more to live for and so much more important. And God's going to provide us the little things. Verse number 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. He's saying, look, seek after those things that will last eternally. And all these things shall be added unto you. What things is he referring to? He's referring to how God will take care of you reasonably. He might not give you everything that you want, but he will reasonably take care of you. And if he is not, there's a reason for it and a purpose behind it. Verse number 31, but seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Then he says, and we're not going to get time to look at this tonight, but he shows us the future here. Fear not, little flock. And he's referring to that small group that was there compared to the rest of the world. Jesus is the shepherd here. For it is your Father's good pleasure. God desires, it's his pleasure, to give you the kingdom. Someday there is something waiting for us in eternity that we could not even imagine. And God desires to give that to you. Here in this world, there are sometimes we have to go through struggles. There are sometimes we have to worry about what might happen, not worry, but had to face trials and persecutions. But he desires to do something wonderful in our lives. Verse 33, he gives us kind of a commission, gets kind of perspective here. Sell that you have and give alms. Now, nowhere does the Bible to say sell everything that you have. This is a perspective on the things that we possess, that we should be generous here in this world. Because God is going to take care of us, we should be generous. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. He says, use your resources in this world to lay up treasures in heaven. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where you are laying up treasures, That is where your heart's going to be. We're going to look a little bit tonight about stewarding our life by not worrying. Let's have a word of prayer real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that you've been working on my heart and my mind and these thoughts about the gift of life you've given us. Lord, we have a limited time. It seems like everything goes very, very busy and time just flies by. And are we pleasing you with how we're stewarding our life? Thank you for the things we've learned. Lord, we don't have to fear man. We need to beware of covetousness. And Lord, help us to understand you will take care of our basic needs for us. We can live for you. We can have our eyes focused on the kingdom because you will take care of us. Help us not to worry. Help us not to spend our time and our life worrying about things that we have no control over. But instead, help us to be people of faith, ones that will live by faith. And Lord, ones that you can bless. Help us tonight, Lord, in the service. Help us the reading of your word. Speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of things I want you to see here is a stewardship perspective. A stewardship perspective. It's a perspective of trust. There is a perspective that if you're going to steward your life for God, and you're going to steward your life for the kingdom of God, and you're going to steward your life with eternity in view, there is a perspective that needs to happen, and that is a perspective of trust. You go back to verse number 22, and he says, take no thought. Take no thought, as I mentioned already, means being anxious for nothing. We've heard that word before. The English word for worry comes from the Anglo-Saxon word that means to strangle. It means to strangle you. You think about it, when you are worrying and when you are struggling to worry and you're worrying about many things, maybe stressed about many things, it kind of makes you unable to function the way you would like to. You can ask my family. And one of the things, when I got a lot of things on my mind, a lot of things on my heart, sometimes I become very short and the way I talk. You know, I like to be kind. I like to be patient. I like to be generous. But if there's a lot of things going on, I start being very short. We need to get this done. I just want you to listen. Don't want you to ask questions. Just do this, this, and this. And I'm very short with them. And that's because I'm stressed and I'm worried. And that happens at times. And that is not good because it strangles out the Christ-likeness I desire. And when we have worry in our lives, we spend the time instead of focusing on what God wants us to focus on, how to steward our life properly, how to steward our relationships properly. It makes us anxious. It makes us worried and makes us hard to be around. I mean, sometimes my wife will say, man, you're just not fun to be around tonight. And you're just not the same. What's wrong? You know, and I'm like, we just need to get this, this, and this done. And then so it's important to remember. Worry is something that will cause cause physical issues. It will hinder relationships, and we will not be Christ-like. What the Bible is saying here, what I believe Jesus is saying, take no thought. He's saying you need to calm down. When we're filled with stress, we don't respond well. When we're filled with stress, we cause us not to think the way we should. And I know people that are filled with stress and filled with worry. And we need to make sure that we're very careful with that. George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Think about it. The problem is fear will cancel your faith, but faith will cancel your fear. Are you a worrier? And see, many people will spend their entire lives worrying and worrying and worrying. One husband was talking to his wife, and his wife worried all the time. He got frustrated with her, and he said one time, why do you worry so much? She says, it's important. Well, why is it important you worry? She says, everything I worry about, 90% of it doesn't happen. 90% of it. And that's what are you worrying about? 90% of the time, it's not even going to happen. And even if you do worry about it, guess what? Most times, you can't do anything about it. This gives the illustration there about the person who thought and they could not grow an inch. I've watched a couple of TV shows over the years that talked about people that needed to get taller. I think Barney Fife one time in the Andy Griffith show, he was to be able to be deputy. He had to be a certain height and he had to be a certain weight. And yes, you can add to your weight. Yes, I know that. I know that too well. But you can't add to your stature. And he worked really, really hard I remember another show. I remember a little boy hanging in a closet trying to stretch his body so that way he could get a little bit taller. You can't do it. worrying about things is not going to increase your faith. It's going to harm your faith. And Jesus is saying, don't waste your life worrying. He says, give it to God. Be anxious for nothing, he says. It means be careful for nothing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. The sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what? God is faithful. And what he is saying here is, he is faithful to us, and we need to have this perspective we see in verse number 22 and verse number 23. You know, life is more than meat and the body more than raiment. That this is the perspective, is that we shouldn't be worrying. Lamentations 3:23 says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Talking about the mercies of God. Great is thy faithfulness. And we know that song. What a wonderful song. Just like this morning, I was going to sing that song and I didn't. I was going to sing the song tonight. I'm not going to sing that either. So, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy, you know, we can trust in him. This is the perspective, is we do not have to worry because we have a God that can add to the stature and that can take care of us. And that says, trust me. Take no thought. None of us by worrying can change anything. We must have the right perspective. Life is so much more than what we own, like I said in verse 15. See, some people think possessions equal significance. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes there's fads growing up. When I grew up, there's certain tennis shoes that a person wore. Now, back then, they didn't cost $250, $300, $400. But today, they think it's significance if they can wear a certain tennis shoe. And not only is it a certain tennis shoe, if it has a certain player's name on it, boy, that makes them significant. You know, see, we're so much more than what we put on. Our possessions are so much more. They're so much more than life. Significance does not equal possessions. We even see here stories of people killing other people over shoes. You say, oh, that's horrible. That's stupid. But how much worse is that than a grown man cheating on his taxes just to get more? How much worse is that than someone stabbing someone else in the back to climb up the corporate ladder? What are they seeking for? They are seeking significance. They are seeking possessions. And the world may ask, how much does a man own? But what God asks is, what are you doing with what you own? Today, don't worry about exactly how much you own, but instead, think about the day you will stand before God when the question is asked, what did you do with what you have? Remember, it's not our stuff, it's God's. God is the owner of it. When we think about stewardship, we are just the managers. So there's a perspective here. He says, take no thought. I don't want you to worry about these things. There's something more important to focus on. Not only is there a stewardship perspective, there's also a stewardship promise. There's also a stewardship promise. And then in verse number 24, he begins to give these illustrations. He said, consider the ravens. When I read that verse, it kind of makes my skin crawl because I don't like ravens. They're the Steelers' worst enemy or greatest opponent in the football. The Baltimore Ravens, if you don't know who they are. But, you know, this principle here, he gives three different illustrations. He says, consider the ravens. Then he talks about how, look, they neither sow nor reap. And that does not mean that we should not work, because the Bible tells us in other parts, but he says, they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And here's the illustration, is that God, he will provide for you. You think about this. Think about all the birds in the world. God takes care of all of them. Can you imagine a millionaire probably couldn't feed all the birds in the world for a day or two? But God can feed him every single day. God can take care of millions of birds, even the ravens. I don't know why he chose the ravens. Maybe the raven had landed there. But to me, it's not a very nice bird. And it's something that's known for, you know, feeding on dead animals or catching animals and, you know, tearing up trash and things like that. And he says, if God can take care of those ravens, and they're known for, you know, taking things, and they're known for eating a lot, and they're known not for not worrying about anything, that they go and they take what they want, they do what they want, they have plenty. They're not searching, and they're not lacking for food. And then he says, how much better are you than a fowl? I think every individual is better than a raven. And I think that they're more important than a raven. So they're saying God will provide for you reasonably. Also, you think about what it says in verse number 20. You go on down to verse number 26. Actually, verse 27 says, consider the lilies. And he look at it saying here, consider the lilies, how they grow, how they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? So you think in the story here, he takes care of the bird, and the bird there is looking for food. And, you know, some people think, well, I'm worried about what I'm going to eat after church. I'm going to go to Dairy Queen, going to go to McDonald's. They're probably thinking about, many of them were farmers. Many of them were people who, they were worried about God providing the food, and they were herdsmen and God taking care of them in the perspective of God taking care of them. And here about the food, about the clothing, they're not going out to Walmart to pick out clothes. I don't know who, you know, probably not a lot of people buy clothes from Walmart, but, you know, they're not going to Walmart to buy clothes. They're talking about who's going to make the clothes. They're going to have the wool to make the clothes and things like that. They're worried about being taken care of. And the Bible is saying here that God will provide reasonably for you. And then he even talks about how God can provide bountifully. And when you see those words, how much more? The lilies don't worry about their growth. The ravens don't worry about their food, but God can take care of them. And if God can take care of the ravens and the grass in the field, he can take care. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, we just think about it. I worry about all these different things. I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about maybe food for tomorrow and what I'm going to wear. And most times we're not really worried about, we're worried about which place we're going to eat at, and we're worried about which one of our 100 pieces of clothing we're going to wear. And we worry about, I wonder what so-and-so is going to do. I wonder what the terrorists are going to do. And I wonder if this is going to happen. I wonder if that's going to... We worry about all these things. And God's saying, you are wasting your life away worrying. Now, once again, you should be a wise person. You should be stewarding your life. And you should be taking care of yourself, and the idea that, you know, God's giving you provisions. You make sure you make good use of it. It is not a mindless religion. But most people worry about things that will never happen. They waste their life worrying about things that God does not want them to worry about. And he says, stop. I've given you this life. I've given you this time. I've given you this mind. I didn't give you all these things for you to waste your life by worrying all the time. There's many people that live with anxiety attacks, and I am not picking on medicines. I'm not picking on, because I know many times mental health issues are real and serious, and there are things, people that are prescribed certain things, but a lot of times that's stuff that is just not there. It's something that is diagnosed by doctors, not all of them, so please don't come to me after church and say, well, I have this, and that's fine. I'm not picking on anybody. But I know a lot of people waste their lives by worrying so much they forget all about God. What does the Bible say? They delight in the Word of God, right? And they meditate in it day and night. I know people who worry day and night. I know people who can't get over things day and night. But the truth of the matter, if we were people that would meditate on the Word of God day and night, we'd be stewarding our life a lot better. So the third thing, not only is a stewardship perspective and promise, there's a plan here. God gives us a plan also. Look what it says in verse number 29, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful of mind. So you see here, we should steward in faith. We should steward our lives believing God's going to take care of this, this, and this. And when God tells us to be rich towards him, when God tells us to be generous, when God tells us to step out by faith, when God tells us to be a witness, when God tells us to think about his word, when God tells us to memorize his word, we need to steward our life by faith. We're going to believe that God can take care of us, and we're going to believe that God will take care of us, and I'm going to steward my time out believing that I should do this, this, and this. I'm going to let God take care of the rest. I'm going to let God take care of the things I used to worry about, and I'm going to steward by having faith. The devil will try to get you to doubt. The devil will try to get you to question. The devil will try to say, you can't do this and you can't do that, but you know God is leading and God wants you to do, then steward your life by faith. That's what he says here. Neither be of doubtful mind. Verse number 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And I mentioned that earlier. You think about the world of lost men and lost women who have no heavenly father might be excused for their preoccupation with temporal things. but we have a different perspective. A lost person that sits next to you at work, or a lost person in your family, or a lost person at the store might be excused because they do not have a Heavenly Father to take care of them. They are going to be preoccupied with temporal things. Temporal things are going to mean a lot to them, but we have a different perspective. We have a different purpose in life that is so much more than possessions, that is so much more than what we eat and what we drink. We must put God first. And that's what he says, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, all these things that the Gentiles seek after, and your Father knoweth that you need the need of these things. He already knows it. And he says, you're supposed to ask him for it, but you're not supposed to worry about it. He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And we know that in Matthew chapter 6, it's put this way, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The world is not going to have the right priorities. The world is, and the TV is going to try to convince you, you need this and you need that to be successful. Your family that is either unsaved or away from God may try to get you to have a different perspective on life. But God says, do those things that are going to last for eternity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it says, seek ye the kingdom of God. The whole discussion with this story began with two men. One brother saying that the other brother is not giving him what he deserves. And Jesus says, beware covetousness. He looks in that man's heart and he sees that man's heart, and that man is covetous and he is worried that he's not going to get what he deserves. And he says, beware covetousness. Take heed and beware covetousness. Our priority in life must be higher than that. We must seek first the kingdom of God. We must have the right perspective. If we do that, the Lord will see to it that we have what we need. Look what it says in verse 34. I think it's our memory verse in our bulletin this week. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I do not know how much people give here at the church. I do not know how much people give in their missions. But I know there are some people who come up to me and they love missions and they talk about missions and they care about the missionaries and they care about people getting saved. I bet that they give to missions. You want to know why? Because that's where their treasure is. That's where their heart's at. I know there are people who would love the church and people who are interested in the church, and you know they have put their perspective and they've given their heart and they've given their life and they've given their resources. They've put in their treasure and things above. They talk about heaven. They look forward to the things in heaven. They talk about what God can and what God will do. If we keep our eye on the right world, we will have the right heart. If we are laying up treasures in heaven, you know where our heart's going to be? In heaven. If all we are worrying about is here and the temporal and now, we're going to get as much as we can out of here and now. But if we are sending things up in heaven, you know what's going to be? That's where our heart's going to be. I don't know how many investments you may have in your life, but if you have investments, and I don't think there's anything wrong with investments, I don't think there's anything wrong with investing in things like that and preparing for the future. I think God speaks about that in his word. I don't think he's talking about being unwise and not preparing for the for a retirement or for years where you might not be able to work a full-time job because of physical things. I don't think that's the case. But I know sometimes when people have that investment that they care about and they lean on, they check that very often. And that's something where their heart is. That's where their goal is. That is what their desire is. That is what they want to accomplish. That's what they look forward to. Nothing wrong with looking forward to retiring. But when we forget about the most important thing is looking forward to the day when we meet him and the things we have sent ahead, people saved, listening to God, following God, taking our family with us, rewards up in heaven. That's when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's just like we talked about this morning, that we may please him who have called us or chosen us to be a soldier. Our life, it should be wrapped around wanting to please him. And not, it's not based on temporal things. And God sometimes will give you temporal things. I have more things than I need. Sometimes those things have been given to me, and I'm thankful for those. And, you know, most of us have so much more than we really, truly need. It's nice to have things. I'm not judging that, and I'm not preaching against that, because he says, seek ye first. He doesn't say that you cannot have possessions, but you need to make sure that this is first in your life, that you're pleasing God with what you have, and that you're stewarding what God has given you. And if God says, hey, I want that, you would freely give that up, because you would think it's more valuable to have treasure in heaven than treasure here on this earth. Because once again, it's God's. And we are the manager of it. It belongs to him. So tonight, when we think about the stewardship perspective, we should trust him. Secondly, when we think about the stewardship plan, we need the stewardship promises. God says, I'm going to take care of you. He's going to be reasonable with it. He even goes a step farther to say, so much more. And then lastly, but not leastly, the stewardship plan. You know, there is a plan that's seeking God first. Now, let me once again remind you, and I say this often, there are preachers out there that says, hey, if you send me money, God will bless you for that. They are people who are deceivers. They are people that have that they're not trying to put riches up in heaven. I want to encourage you in your life that you seek first the kingdom of God. I know someone who has talked to me before in the past, and they struggle with giving, and they struggle with tithing, and they told me, he says, I tried tithing, I listened to the message, it talked about how God was going to rain stuff down from heaven, and how I was going to be wealthy, and I was going to, and I gave to God, and I gave to God, and I gave to God, I gave exactly what he asked me to, and then I couldn't take care of myself. And I said, well, why did you give? He says, because I wanted to be rich. And I says, well, he says, I thought God was going to bless me abundantly with physical things. And I said, you gotta have the right heart. You gotta have the right perspective. You think about it. And you think Jesus, he was hungry, wasn't he? 40 days, almost 6 weeks, he hungered, and devil comes and tempts him with, and he says, hey, look, why don't you change his bread to stone? Jesus says, if God wants me to be hungry, I'd rather be hungry and in God's will than to be full and out of God's will. So there's a perspective. You say, sometimes people do suffer, and sometimes, I get it, God's going to take care of you. Trust him. Trust him with your life. Today, I want to encourage you. God's given you a life. You say, life's not that great. If you didn't have it, you wouldn't be here. If you didn't have it, you wouldn't be alive. Steward that life. Now, how are you doing with stewarding? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? And if you do know Christ and you have eternal life, are you living for him? Are you fearing God? Are you bewaring of covetousness? And don't waste your life by worrying. I know there's some people out there that struggle. There are times when I'm stressed about things and I can't accomplish anything because of the fact that I'm not being the way I'm supposed to be. Don't waste your life by worrying. Instead, steward your life with the gifts that God has given you. Let's go ahead and bow our head for a second. Don't stand right this second. Everybody bow their head and close their eyes for a second. I want to ask a question. The Lord kind of spoke to my heart tonight about talking a little bit about eternal life and knowing Christ, your personal Savior. And I know that on Sunday mornings we ask this question, but not very often on Sunday nights. But I believe there's probably at least one person here tonight that doesn't know Christ. And I'd like to see them saved tonight. And I want to give them the opportunity. So if you're here tonight and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you know that if you died today that you would go to heaven, and you're sure of that, will you raise your hand and give a testimony?